that thought, we ought to just go on and have church this morning.
Amen. Thank God. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. I know y'all getting tired of this, but if you're getting tired of God's Word, you got trouble. Amen. Exodus chapter number 20, and we've been looking for several weeks now at the Ten Commandments. Thus far, we have covered the first five commandments. We said that the first half of the commandments have to do with man and his relationship to God. The second half of the commandments have to do with man and his relationship to man. We started last week with man and his relationship with man in honoring our father and our mother. Amen? A commandment to children. Listen, and when we say children, we think about little kids. But listen, I'm still my mother's child. I'm 45 years old, but I'm still my mama's little boy. Amen? I'm the only one she's got. Thank God. I didn't have to share that love with nobody else, or not another brother, just my sister. Amen? So now God is beginning to tell us how to react and respond and how to treat one another. Amen? Wouldn't it be good if everybody treat each other right? Come on, talk to me now. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be good if people just treat each other right? Amen. Even if lost people would follow these commands right here, this world would be a lot better place. Amen. What if our government would just say, hey, this is how we're going to run this country right here. We're just going to run this country by these 10 simple things. We're going to make these our basic fundamental laws. Amen. And that's how we're going to run America. But yet they've got to have this analyst and this professional and that professional, this doctor and this professor, and phooey on that crowd. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. They haven't a clue what they're doing. Every politician stands up and says, I've got all the answers. I'm going to change this, and I'm going to change that, and I'm going to fix America. And every one of them make it worse and worse and worse and worse. Why don't they just go back to the Bible? Amen. When I was a little kid, we learned the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. It'd do America good to get back to that, wouldn't it? This morning we should be at our sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But I'm jumping it. And we're going to deal with the seventh commandment this morning. I prayed about it. And thou shalt not kill, that's pretty much a no-brainer, but it does need some expounding and some explanation. This anti-war crowd that runs around burning flags. Amen. Amen. The hippie crowd in the 70s that said make love not war, they always wanted to run to that verse right there. God's not talking about war. He's talking about murder. Amen. And we may take a Wednesday night and deal with that and do a little Bible study. Amen? But this morning, I want to look at the seventh commandment and verse number 14. The Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I prayed for God to give me the right spirit as I bring this message this morning. This is one area where as a pastor, I'm angry at the heartache and the wreckage and the carnage that I have to witness from this sin. Amen. What is adultery? It's a sin. That's just flat out. It's just a sin. I read about the Great Wall of China. Did you know you can see the Great Wall of China from space? The Great Wall of China. They said that the Great Wall of China was built to keep the enemy out of their nation. Did you know that no enemy ever broke the wall of the Great Wall of China? Did you know that? No enemy ever broke. We used to say, how'd the enemy get in? Through the gate. Through the gate. Now, stay with me. How did the enemy get into China? Through the gate. Well, who was guarding the gate? Were there guards at the gate? Yeah. But they said they were bribed. Satan is just like that. We build these walls around our lives and we make these statements and say, this won't happen to me and this won't happen to me and so-and-so did that, and we stand in judgment over them, and you say, bless God, not at my house. But the devil's standing at the gate to tempt you and try you. You be careful how you say, I would never cheat on my wife. You be careful. Hey, that's a good statement to say. That's a good purpose to have in your heart. But be careful how you say it. Don't say that with pride. Say that with humility. If you really believe in your heart that you would not cheat on your spouse, that's something that God put in your heart, and you ought to be humble and thankful for it. Amen. Instead of looking down your nose at somebody else and saying, bless God, we all right this morning? I know we hadn't had a good shouting sermon on Sunday morning in quite a while. But boy, if we get this stuff down pat, we'll shout. Yes. Amen. Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all look peaked or something.
Yes.
Amen. Listen, I don't think God is just dealing here with adultery. I think He's dealing with sexual sin.
Yes.
Fornication. We talked about that Great Wall of China and how the enemy came through the gate. Well, in America, the wall's been torn down. We are at a place where there is no morality. Are you listening to me? Somebody's going to get offended this morning, and I really don't give a good rip. Hey, I really don't. I'm going to preach the Bible to you whether you like it or not. Amen. It's sad. It's sad in America. When a gay preacher calls me on the phone and cusses me out. A homosexual pastor, it's been several years ago, when we stood against that gay publication that they was putting in the Blockbuster video, a pastor called me from Douglasville and said, this is Pastor so-and-so. I said, how can I help you? He said, I'll have you know I'm gay and I'm going to stay. Oh, yeah, and you're going to burn in hell one day too. Amen. That's where the morality of our country is. Somebody said, preacher, would you marry a gay couple? You outside your mind? Amen. Man, when I was a little boy, you never saw two men together. Did you? Think about it. Go back. I'm just 45 years old. It hadn't been that long ago. I mean, gay was something you was when you was happy. Amen. That's something we joked about in high school. We never really saw one that we knew. You say, preacher, be careful. You may have one in your congregation. I may have, and I love you. I'm not here to condemn you. Amen. It's not my job. The Bible's already took care of condemning your sin. Amen. Our morality is gone. We've got women all across America, their favorite show on television is Desperate Housewives. Y'all all right? That was Laura Bush's, our president's wife, our past president. That was her favorite television show. I'm telling you, our morality is gone. We've got pregnant girls in junior high. Amen. They're handing our children contraceptives in school. They're telling them to practice safe sex. Let me tell you what safe sex is. Keep your britches on, teenager. Keep your hands off of each other. Are y'all out there? Every mom and daddy ought to be saying amen right there this morning. Amen. One lady told me one time when she was going to let her 14-year-old daughter date. I said, you're retarded. Amen. Amen. Some people ain't liking this morning. Amen. Well, don't come crying to me when she's 15 and pregnant. Amen. I'm telling you, our morality's gone. It's gone. It's gone. A lady told me on the phone this week about a friend of hers who had got involved with a, I don't know what to call it, wife swapping with their neighbor. The person she was telling me about is supposedly saved. The husband that lived next door, while they're doing their thing, sat on the back deck and died. They didn't even know he's dead till morning. That's some mixed up stuff, isn't it? Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Flee fornication and youthful lust. Do we teach that to our children? That sex before marriage is wrong? Do we teach that to our children, or do we make sure they're protected? It's not popular preaching this morning. It's not what you get on TBN. Amen. That's what you. We got just a few more commandments, and we'll be through. And I promise you, if the Lord let me, I'll preach something real sweet. Amen. You know what'd be real sweet if your marriage stayed together? That's what. That's what you could shout over right there. Amen. If you make it to your 50th wedding anniversary, your big golden anniversary, wouldn't that be good this morning? That'd be sweet right there. Amen. I'll give you a sweet this morning. Stay right. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you've committed the act of adultery, or you're in the middle of an adulterous affair, or you've been through a divorce and remarried, God can forgive. In John chapter number 8, they brought the little lady to Jesus who was, they said, caught in the act of adultery. Y'all remember what the Lord did? He stooped down, started drawing in the dirt. I believe he was doing one of two things. He's either writing names or making arrows. I believe the one she was caught with was one of them that brung her. Amen. They just did that to trip Jesus up. And what the Lord said, he said, the first one of y'all ain't got no sin, you can throw the first rock. Because she's supposed to be stoned. Y'all better be glad we living in under grace. And not under Old Testament law. Amen. Because I wouldn't be preaching to many this morning. I don't know if there's enough graveyard to hold us. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is God can forgive. Yes. We look at the life of David, even in the Old Testament, God can also restore. Yes. Amen. I tell couples sitting across my desk, not all the time, but when this thing comes up and couples come to me and either the wife's cheated on the husband or the husband's cheated on the wife, I say, hey, look, this is not the end. Amen. It's not the end. Most people got in their mind, oh, she cheated, divorce. He cheated, divorce. Where do you get that? That's what society's taught you. Divorce is not a fix. It's a finish. Y'all all right? We got couples sitting in here this morning that's been through it. And are happily married. You hear what I said? Happily married. You can get through it. Don't be a coward and quit because somebody made a fatal mistake. I just wanted to preface the message by saying that. I'm not condemning you. I'm not beating you up. I love you. But if I could give some preventative medicine this morning, I'd like to. We've got some young couples this morning. We've got David and Ashley Hawford, Ashley and Todd Thompson, my daughter. We got William and Jennifer Collins. I mean, just young couples, Terry and Stacy Williams. I mean, we just got young. We got young couples this morning, Jason and Jennifer. We got young couples that the devil would like nothing better than to destroy what God has joined together. Amen. The Bible said, we quote it in every wedding, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God won't tear your marriage up. But man and the devil sure will. Amen. Y'all listen to me? Men, you need to keep it with your own wife. Ladies, you need to keep it with your own husband. Unmarried, don't worry about it. Your days are coming. We okay this morning? Let me talk to you this morning just for a few minutes about this thing of adultery. I said it's a sin. It's a sin. Well, I made a mistake. No, you sinned. I messed up. You sinned. We all sin, don't we? And I know we say there's no big sin, no little sin. This is a big one. This is the one sin that I see has more harmful effect than any other sin I know of. Number one, it's a sin against God. Let's use our Bibles a little bit this morning. Go to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis, back to your left. Genesis chapter number 39. We've got the story of Joseph. And Joseph has been sold into slavery. And he's brought to this man Potiphar's house. And he's there to be a servant to Potiphar. And in Genesis 39 and verse number 8, let me see if I can find my glasses. And you know the story about the woman tempted him in Genesis 39 and verse number 8. She laid hands on him, wanting him to come and lay with her. In verse number 7, verse number 8, the Bible said, "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness," watch this, "and what? Sin against God." Wow. Why didn't he say, "Why would I do this great thing and sin against Potiphar? Why would I do this great thing and sin against your husband?" He didn't say that. Because he wasn't thinking in the light of Potiphar's eyes. He was thinking in the light of God's eyes. Do you know we spend more time worrying about what our neighbor thinks, or the person on the other pew thinks, or the person on our job thinks, or the person down at school thinks, than we spend thinking about what God thinks?
Amen.
Listen, you may get away with cheating on your wife, far as she's concerned. You may get away with cheating on your husband, as far as he's concerned, but you ain't getting away. Amen. You're not getting away. Just remember, when you do it, God's a-watching. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. It's a sin against God. You say, how can I keep from committing adultery? How can I keep this thing pure and right and holy? Think about what God thinks. Amen. It's a sin. Why is it a sin against God? Because he's the one who said don't do it.
Right.
Amen. He's the one who said do not do it. Look at Psalms chapter number 51. Psalms chapter number 51. You remember what the little old boy said when the prodigal son, when he came home? Anybody remember? He said, "I've sinned against who?" He said, "I've sinned against God and in thy sight." You know, I think when we really are repentant, we realize we've sinned against God. I don't think we can be repentant until we realize that we have sinned against God. Amen. Achan, when he was caught with the gold and the silver and the Babylonian clothes, garments up under his tent, when he got caught with that, he was sorry. He was sorry. He was sorry to Joshua. He was sorry to his family because it cost them all their life. But sorry to each other ain't good enough. Before I can be truly sorry to my wife, I must first be sorry unto God.
Amen.
Amen. I must first be regretful that I've sinned against God before I can make sure, get it right, that I've sinned against my spouse. Are you with me? In Psalms chapter number, 51, in verse number 3, David has committed adultery. The king of Israel, listen to me. A man after God's own heart. Now you sitting there with your nose in the air thinking, boy, he's preaching to the choir this morning. That'll never happen to me. You bigger than David? You bigger than David? You think if God came down this morning, he'd say, "Hey, I like you so much, I want you to be the head over Israel." He only penned over 90% of the Psalms. The sweet psalmist of Israel.
Amen.
The words that he wrote are used more than the words anybody else wrote. The 23rd Psalm. Amen. He cheated on his wife. He committed adultery. Amen. He used his power in an evil way. In verse number 3, he said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." Watch what he said in verse number 4. "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, I would say that he sinned against Bathsheba.
Amen.
And I could say that justly. I would say, what was his or her husband's name? Uriah? Uriah the Hittite. I would say he sinned against Uriah. And be justly so, wouldn't you think? I would say he sinned against the nation that God put him over. And I think I'd be justly so. But here's what David said. I have sinned against thee, thee only. Do you think David realized he sinned against Uriah? Sure he did. Do you think he realized he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba and the nation of Israel? Do you think he did? I think he did. But I think what was most important in his eyes was that he sinned against God.
Amen.
Amen. That he sinned against God. What'll keep you from doing this? Realizing that when you do, that you're sinning not just against your spouse, but you're sinning against God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, man, if God's happy with you, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Amen. But if he ain't, we're in bad trouble. Amen.
Yes.
Not only is adultery a sin against the Lord, it's a sin against your own body. Are you listening to me? Not only is it sin against God, it's a sin against your own body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I know we're not shouting this morning. If you're visiting, say, boy, I don't like this. Man, Hey, come back. We have a balanced meal around here.
Yeah.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 18. He said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication, watch this, sinneth against his own body. Amen. Sinneth against his own body. Wow. So when we enter into a adulterous relationship or fornication, any kind of sexual sin, we're sinning not only against God, but we're sinning against our own body. You say, what can that hurt? It can hurt a whole lot. Amen. It can hurt a whole lot. And God has ways of dealing with it. When I was a kid, it was VD. Venereal disease. All the boys over in Vietnam got it. Not all of them, but the ones that fool around it. Your wife likes you to bring her home flowers, not disease.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
It started out with a venereal disease. You get a shot and clear it up. Now it's AIDS.
Yeah.
And HIV.
Yes.
You say, oh, that's just homosexuals. Not hardly.
Right.
Not hardly. I know. Y'all okay? Yeah. Nod your head or something. Amen. It's a sensitive subject, I know. But we ought to deal with it in our church.
Amen.
If I don't deal with this, I don't love you.
Yes, sir.
If I don't try to strengthen your home and build your marriage and make it stronger and tighter and keep the gate closed where the devil can't get in, I'm not a good preacher.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a sin against God and it's a sin against your own body.
Amen.
You ever watched anybody die with AIDS? I have. It's not pretty, is it, sis? She's a nurse. Ain't you a nurse? That's what I thought. I've seen it. It's ugly. It's horrible.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, well, the person I'm fooling with, they, how do you know?
That's right. Amen.
If they'll fool around with you, they'll fool around with somebody else.
That's right.
Amen. Are you listening to me? Sir, if you're cheating with a woman, you marry her, guess what? If she cheated with you, she'd cheat with somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. Ladies, you better listen. If that boss at work is making eyes and coming on to you and he's got a wife at home, you better run. Because if he'll sleep with you, he's more than likely slept with somebody else. Who slept with somebody else? 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 You better be careful.
Amen.
You're sinning against your own body.
Amen.
Amen. How would you like to know that you committed the act of adultery, contracted the HIV virus, and you had no idea? Then your wife became expecting. And gave birth to your child, and you had to watch it die with AIDS. Guess what? You killed it. We all right this morning? Adultery is still a sin. Homosexuality is still a sin. It's not an alternate lifestyle. A lifestyle is I like to hunt. Brother Tom likes to golf. Are you listening? That's a lifestyle. A lifestyle is one drives a Cadillac, one drives a Volkswagen. That's a lifestyle. Boys kissing ain't a lifestyle. Where's Katie? Katie had a little girl at her daycare where she worked. 4 years old, singing a song. A little girl singing a song. I kissed a girl and I liked it. It's a sin against God, and it's a sin against your own body. Amen? There's so much stuff I could say, but I'm trying my best to be careful and be polite and not be vulgar. Amen? There's the disease of sexual immorality. But then there's the heartbreak of sexual immorality. How many of you watched your parents go through an awful divorce? If you enjoyed it, keep your hand up. Not one. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. When I got called to jury duty a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get picked, I wanted to get picked. I thought it'd be cool, man. I wanted to hang somebody. Put them in a chair. Throw the switch. No, I'm kidding. I really did. I wanted to get involved, you know. But the first case they called me in on was a divorce case. Sure was, a divorce case. I did not know they had jury trials for divorces. I did not want on that case. And I found out they didn't want a Baptist preacher on it, no way. I told the sheriff, he was there. And I told, well, maybe it was the deputy, Brother Donnie Wicks. I told one of them. I said, I didn't know they had jury cases for divorces. He said, happens all day, every day, right here. Heartbreak. Parents fighting over who gets custody. A child has to sit and watch his daddy try to weasel out of child support. And you say, well, they'll be okay once it's over. It ain't ever over. It's never over. You hear what I said? It's never over. I'm 45. It happened when I was 4. That's 40 years ago. It ain't over. Y'all better listen to me this morning. If you've been through it, God bless your heart. Get right with God, or if you are, stay right with God and do the best you can. Love your children. Make the best of your situation. God can still use you, and God still loves you, and God can still get glory out of your life. But if it hasn't happened to you, set some boundaries, build some walls, shut some gates, and keep it from happening. Amen. One jerk sitting across from my desk, I said a jerk. And if he's here this morning, you're a jerk. Well, she just ain't the woman I married. Well, what are you? Hulk Hogan? Sit there, you puzzle gut and your arms propped on your fat belly. She ain't the woman I'm married. You're an idiot. I love you with all my heart, but you are an idiot. Guess what? That and you got your eyes on, she ain't gonna be the same 20 years either. Somebody said when she turns 40, I'm gonna trade her in for 220s. Never mind, I'm going to leave that alone. Yeah, I'm going to leave it alone. It's sin to your own body. It causes heartache. You hear what I said? It causes heartache. It shortens your life. It's ugly. And it's mean. Nine times out of ten, they say, we're going to have a peaceful divorce. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a peaceful divorce. You say, well, we're not fighting. Are the kids crying? It ain't peaceful. No way, no how. You look at it, it is a sin against God and it's a sin against your own body. Thirdly, it's a sin against your spouse. You've did them the greatest injustice you could probably do them. Your wife get over you slapping her quicker than she'd get over you cheating on her. Same goes for you, ladies. Everybody, we talk about adultery, I always preach to the men. I'm preaching women too. Amen. Do you know I've dealt with that as a pastor as much as I have? Men cheating? I sure have. I surely have. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Just one page over. Or it may be on the same page in your Bible. Verse number 2. It's a sin against your spouse. Nevertheless, he said, to avoid fornication. Here you go. How do I keep from it? Use the Bible, man. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Hear what he said? Avoid fornication. How do I do that? Have your own wife. Have your own husband. You listen to me? Listen here, boys. That's mine. Not in the sense that I own her, but that is my wife. Mess with her, I'll kill you. Say amen right there. I'll shoot you dead. You say, well, you just said thou shalt not kill. We'll deal with that. I'm serious. Amen. Well, I'm serious. God made me the protector of my home. Yeah. And I'll show you what Wednesday night. It'd be okay if you mess my wife. I'll blow your brains out. Boy, it got quiet then. Well, you say, I just disagree. Well, disagree with that. We'll see how you react when somebody comes after yours. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And ladies, I'm hers. I ain't all that in a bag of chips, but I ain't half bad for 45. But I'm hers. Amen. I belong to her. You know what I do? You know what I do when I preach out of town? I brag about Brother Tommy Tal preaching their church. Did I mention my wife at least once while I was there? Twice? Three times? I talk about my wife. You say, why do you talk about your wife when you're preaching out of town? Because I'm alone. Amen. You listen to me? I'm setting up a boundary. I'm overstating the fact. I know I'm the epitome of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I belong to somebody else. Amen. But listen to me. I'm George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and all that crowd roll up into one. She thinks so. Don't you tell her no different. You shut up. I belong to her. Amen. And if I commit adultery, I've sinned against her. I've hurt her. I've broken her trust. I don't know how many times across my desk I've heard this statement. I'll stay with you because I love you, but I'll never trust you again. Why? Because you have sinned against me. You have hurt me. Let me tell you, when this happens, you have a mixture. It's phases. It's anger. Then it's just flat out broken-hearted hurt. Yeah. I love her with all my heart. I want to do everything in my power to keep from doing that to her.
Amen.
And believe it or not, I love me. And I want to do everything in my power to keep from doing that to me. And I love God. And I want to do everything in my heart to keep from doing that to God. I don't want to have to pray that prayer like David did and say, against thee, thee only have I sinned. I don't want to pray that prayer. How can I keep from it? Have my own wife. Have my own wife. A fella just recently, months ago, told one of our men, and he's here this morning, a friend of his told him, they're driving in the truck down the road and his friend looked over to him, and this is what he said, Brother Charles. He said, if you don't sleep with my wife, it's okay. He said, what? He said, seriously. He said, as long as I'm not around. Because we have that kind of relationship. That's not a relationship. Y'all all right? Surely ain't got that kind of mess going on in here. If it is, you get it fixed or get gone. Because that stuff opens the door to every kind of demon in hell you can imagine. I've seen it in churches. It don't just happen in one spot. It spreads, buddy. It's like a disease. Told him that. If I tell you that, I'm on some sure enough psychotic drug. I'm wrong. People who profess to know God and make statements like that. You all right? It's a sin against God. It's a sin against your own self, and it's a sin against your spouse. Let me ask you something this morning. Sir, do you love her? You said you did. You even promised you'd be faithful when you stood before the preacher. I think you even have to promise that when you go to the justice of the peace. Is that right? I believe you do. I believe you still have to promise to be faithful. You promised that.
Amen. Amen.
Liar. Do you love her? Don't sin against her.
Amen.
Do you love him? Ma'am?
Amen.
Don't sin against him.
Amen.
Don't sin against him.
Amen.
Don't sin against him. Do you love God?
Amen.
Don't do it to him. I said adultery is a sin against God. It's a sin against your own self. And it's a sin against your spouse. Let me close. It's a sin against your children.
Amen.
It's a sin. Look at 2 Samuel. One more verse of Scripture. Maybe two. 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and we're done. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Listen to me carefully. This stuff is like the flu shot. It's not fun, but it helps.
That's right.
There's nothing to click our heels over this morning. If your marriage makes it, we will.
That's right. Amen, preacher. Amen.
Do you think I sat all week long going, whoa, I can't wait to preach this, I can't wait? No, I didn't. But I cannot preach God's law without it. 2 Samuel, what chapter did I say? Chapter number 12. We're still dealing with David and his adultery. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, look at verse number 10. This is what the Lord said to him. He said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house because thou hast despised me. Here's how God thinks of it. He said, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. God said, by doing that, you despise me.
Hmm.
Lord, look at verse number 11. The Lord said, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And he did. You can read on, keep reading through 2 Samuel. And what you're going to find out is he had some sons. His own son rose up against him, run him off his own throne. Amen? He said, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in thy sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. But if you'll study this man's life, his children paid the price. I've watched children that go through divorces. Mom and dad, 9 times out of 10, they make it. But I can take you right now and show you some kids that are bitter. They're mad at God. They're mad at their mother. They're mad at their daddy. And it scares me that it's hardened their little hearts so much. I wonder when it comes time for the Lord to deal with them about their salvation, if they'll even get saved. Divorce will put a hatred in a child's heart that only God can remove.
That's it. That's right.
You listening to me? God didn't give me peace till just a few years ago. Are you listening? Tell you what. Turn to 1 John and we'll quit. I tell you what, next time you're sleeping with somebody else, put your kids' pictures on the headboard. Yeah, just take them with you. Say, excuse me, I need to set my children's pictures up here. See how that'll work for you. Envision them crying themselves to sleep every night while you're getting a little moment of pleasure. Come on. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against your flesh. It's a sin against your spouse. And it's a sin against your children. There's reason enough to leave it alone. There's reason enough to leave it alone. Over and over and over and over, I've said, do not put yourself in the situation and it will not happen. I've had women get mad at me because I won't talk to them alone. I won't do it. I had a woman come to the old church. Brother Charles was there. He ran interference for me. She wanted to meet me in my office. We was working on the church. I hid in the attic. I wouldn't even come out. Brother Charles, tell you the truth. Brother Charles said, she won't see you. I said, He said, you're right. I said, you go tell her. I can't do it. And I didn't. That's been 16, 15 years ago. Till this day, I still ain't done it. Amen. And I ain't going to do it. You say, you afraid what you'll do? No, not really. I ain't got to worry about it. Because you're not coming in that office and closing that door. Not unless she's in there. She said, well, I don't want to talk to your wife. Well, we don't want to talk to you. You say, you got an attitude. No. Yeah, I got an attitude. I've got an attitude to protect my marriage. Protect my home. My children are grown, but it'd break Katie's heart. Ashley's got children of her own, but it'd break her heart. If I run off like some of these other preachers. It'd tear Levi up. And it hurt her. And it hurt me. And it hurt God. And it hurt you. It hurt everybody surrounded, wouldn't it? He said, well, it hurt the church because you're the pastor. Oh, it hurts the church when you do it.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, just get on Facebook sometime. It hurts everybody, man. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't know how convicting and an altar-drawing sermon this was. But if you're married, it wouldn't hurt you one bit to get on the altar and say, God, strengthen my relationship with my wife. Lord, I hadn't cheated. Help me not to. Help me to keep it right, God. Amen. Lord, it has happened in our home. Help us to repair and rebuild.
Amen.
And get past it.
Yes.
Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, if y'all would get us a song this morning. I can't imagine. This is thinking about Todd and Ashley. I can't imagine little Hayden not having his daddy at home. My little grandson, he loves his daddy with all his heart. He's fixing to be a City of Atlanta police officer. He'll have every skank in that town trying to bribe him with their body. You wear that ring proud, son. Take that home. Let's bow our heads this morning. I know it's not a salvation message this morning, but if you're not sure you'd go to heaven when you die, we sure would like to pray for you. Better than that, we'd like to pray with you. Say, preacher, I don't know if I died right now if heaven would be my home. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But I promise you I'll pray for you if you'll just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I need to get that settled in my heart about where I'll spend eternity. Just slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. I promise we're just going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless your heart, ma'am. Anybody else? How about this, preacher? I don't want to give no details, but I sure wish you'd pray for my family. Pray for my home. Well, my hand's up. Pray for my home, that God would strengthen it. Pray for my children. Pray for my spouse. Pray for me. Thank you so much. Let's pray together, Father, as we come before you this morning. Lord, we've spent time in the devil's playground this morning. Lord, he'd like nothing better than to tear up every home represented in his church this morning. Lord, some he has, but Lord, I'd like to see him not ever get his teeth into another one. God, I pray that you'd build strong relationships. Lord, firstly, between us and you, but then God, strong relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children. Oh, dear Lord, help us. Oh, God, to be true to our mates that you've given us. God, I pray for that hand that was raised this morning, unsure about their soul. I pray you'd help them to get peace before they leave here today. Father, have your way in this invitation. We'll give you the glory that's due, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.